The Sports Addict Radio Network proudly presents The Jerry Miller Show.
I totally don't know what that means, but I want it.
Opinions and information for the Wahoo and Hokie Nations.
It ain't cool being no jive turkey so close to Thanksgiving.
You can reach the program by calling 866-356-ESPN.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Or you can email the show at jerry@cvasports.com.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Now, here's your host, Jerry Miller.
Show me the money!
Guys, welcome back. We're in hour two. It's the Jerry Miller Show. We're syndicated on 5 affiliates in 3 states. Thank you very much for joining us. It's Tuesday, so we inch closer to a big-time Thursday night football game, Clemson at Wake Forest. We'll get to that as the week matures, but we welcome CC Chris Coleman into the mix, as we always do, top of hour two. Chris Coleman is the associate editor at one of our favorite websites, TechSideline.com. Mr. Coleman, good afternoon, sir.
How's it going, Jerry?
It's going well. Let's dot some I's and cross the T's and get, you know, Ike Whitaker out of the way. He had a story, or they wrote a story on Ike in the Washington Post that got some play, and I think is being talked about on your message boards. Ike Whitaker said, quote, "I was treated unfairly," quote, "I was lied to by the Hokie coaching staff." Is this sour grapes? The same question Kevin Quigley asked me. Is this sour grapes, or does Ike Whitaker have a legitimate claim here?
I don't think he has much of a claim at all, because in most programs, he would have been off the team a year or two ago. I mean, Beamer gave him chance after chance to get it together. But, you know, when it came down to it, you know, he just kept doing the little things wrong, like missing meetings and stuff like that. You know, so in the end, they just had to part ways. I think Beamer really wanted to keep Whitaker in the program and keep him playing college football because of his problems with alcohol. And obviously, we saw what happened on Thursday night. You know, Ike Whitaker did not have a football practice to go to on Thursday because he was suspended. So what happens? He goes down to Tots and gets arrested and blows a .33. You know, that's why you want Ike Whitaker in a football program in a somewhat controlled environment, because he's the type of guy who can go out and get himself in trouble.
Chris, you're exactly right. It's structure. Football gives Ike Whitaker structure, and it keeps him walking the line. So let's just make sure we got all the facts straight. He misses the Wednesday wide receivers meeting at 7 a.m., and then within 3 hours of missing that meeting, he was suspended indefinitely. But Coach Beamer said, you will maintain your scholarship so you can graduate, but next year, your final year of eligibility, you're going to have to transfer to play college football somewhere else.
That's correct. That's the way I read it. And, I read an article in the Collegiate Times that say multiple witnesses saw Ike Whitaker at downtown for karaoke on Tuesday night until past 1 o'clock in the morning. So I mean, he's just not doing things off the field that he needs to be. When you miss a meeting at 7 a.m., if you're allegedly out until 1 o'clock the night before, it's not surprising that you miss that meeting. And to blame Beamer and blame the Tech coaching staff for it, it just doesn't sound good, especially coming from a guy who got chance after chance to stay in the program and do things the right way, because, Ike Whitaker would have been forced to transfer to another school, if he had played for pretty much any other program over the course of the last couple of years. But, Beamer has a habit of giving players, a lot of chances, and he certainly did that for Ike, and Ike didn't take advantage of it.
Well said, Mr. Coleman. Last question on Ike Whitaker. You talk about he was going out Tuesday night in Blacksburg for karaoke. So are we to believe that he kind of read the writing on the wall? Jarrett Boykin was getting his reps as a wide receiver on offense. Whitaker was falling down the depth chart. Maybe he said, look, I'm not going to play here. Let me go out.
I'm not sure. He played the first couple of games in the season. He actually led all the Tech wide receivers with 3 catches against East Carolina. He played quite a bit against Furman. Didn't play against Georgia Tech or North Carolina. I think he was in a little bit of trouble there. Came back, got some playing time against Nebraska. Didn't make any catches against Nebraska, but I think he played 10 or 15 plays in that game. So he was working his way back in the rotation. So I really don't see the playing time comment, because, when he was doing things the right way at the beginning of the season, he was playing. Then I believe he missed another meeting or a weight room session or something like that, and he didn't get to play against North Carolina or Georgia Tech. And then they were starting to get him back in the lineup against Nebraska. So, uh, you know, it's just, I think the guy's got some serious problems that he really needs to straighten out.
Chris Colvin, our guest, guys, the associate editor of TechSideline.com, kind enough to join us on the Jerry Miller Show. He joins us on Tuesdays atop of Hour 2. Let me throw this to you here, Mr. Colvin. Kenny Lewis Jr., I guess, assess the injury. He's done for the year. How does it impact the running game?
You know, I think it's going to impact it against certain opponents. Kenny Lewis was Virginia Tech's best runner on those outside stretch plays, in my opinion. And, you know, he's Tech's fastest running back in space. And, you know, Darren Evans, as good as he is in between the tackles, he's capped by a lack of explosiveness. And I don't think he can run to the outside like Kenny Lewis can. And, you know, against teams like Boston College, you know, Boston College has, you know, the top two defensive tackles, you know, the biggest defensive tackles in the conference. I mean, you just can't move those guys, B.J. Raji and Ron Brace. Virginia Tech's not going to be able to run the ball between the tackles against Boston College. They're going to need to get to the outside, and I'm not sure they have a running back that can consistently do that right now. Josh Oglesby is a guy who can do it, but at the same time, he really hasn't gotten many significant snaps. You know, the Hokies are going to have two redshirt freshmen in the backfield, along with a bunch of freshman receivers, and, you know, it's the going's going to be tough.
So you think the Lewis Jr. has more of an impact on this football team from an actual X's and O's performance standpoint as opposed to the leadership? Because, you know, from what I watch, and you know this football team better than I do, Chris, Kenny Lewis Jr. certainly comes across as a big-time team leader on this club.
Yes, he's a big-time team leader. I think he has an impact on the X's and O's in certain games. You know, I think he could have helped against Boston College with his speed to the outside. But, you know, the main thing to me is the leadership factor, which you brought up. You know, seeing him hurt on the sideline like that, and every important player on Virginia Tech's team came up to him on the sideline. Some, you know, in groups of four or five, you know, everybody from Macho Harris to Tyrod Taylor to Sean Glennon was over there with Kenny Lewis on the sideline at some point after he was injured. And, you know, that just showed to me how well-regarded he is by his teammates.
What does this do for a guy like Ryan Williams, who was a top-three running back recruit coming out of high school? I hope to God Coach Beamer still redshirts this kid.
Yeah, he's still going to redshirt. I think Virginia Tech would have to lose pretty much all their tailbacks before the redshirt came off him. I think they might talk about moving Jairae Cheeseman back to tailback, and you know, I think they'll get Dustin Pickle some reps in there also. But I think that shirt definitely stays on Ryan Williams.
So you see a Cheeseman moving from fullback to running back?
I think it's a possibility. I think Beamer is really intrigued by Cheeseman at fullback. He sees Cheeseman as maybe Jarrett Ferguson type, you know, a shorter, stocky guy, but who has a lot of speed at the fullback position. So I think he would really like to keep him there. I think they'll use this bye week to really evaluate where they're at with Josh Oglesby, and then make a decision.
Chris
there.
Coleman, our guest, guys, the associate editor of TechSideline.com. Six games in, Mr. Coleman, 5-1, 2-0 in the conference. I mean, your report card in the first, you know, six games of the year, I think it's got to be pretty darn close to an A.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty solid. I think Tech's, you know, they're obviously very close to being 500, but overall, you know, they're getting it done down the stretch, which is a lot more than you can say for some other teams across the country. You know, if you told me 5-1, 2-0 at the beginning of the season, you know, I would have taken that. That's kind of where I thought Tech would be before the season started. After the Furman game, I didn't think it was going to be that well. So I think they've progressed quite a bit since that Furman game. But right now, 2-0 in the conference. You've still got home games against Maryland, Virginia, and Duke left on the schedule. So it's really looking right now like 5-3 in the ACC at worst. Figure out a way to win one of those road games against Boston College, Florida State, and Miami, and then you're looking at 6-2. And I think that should be good enough to win the Coastal Division this year.
See, I love that assessment. I look at it the same way. A win is what this game is all about, especially coming from a guy like myself who covers Virginia football inside and out, and it's been a very difficult season, Mr. Coleman. I know the naysayers are saying just 27 points scored against Western Kentucky at home on homecoming. The offense should have scored more. I look at it, look, you won by 14 points. You got a W. You're 5-1, 2-0. Let's move on and prepare for Boston College.
Well, yeah, I look at it like this. You know, Virginia Tech had 27 points, and there was 10 minutes remaining left in the third quarter. At the end of that touchdown drive in the third quarter, they took out their starting quarterback, and they lost their starting tailback to injury. You know, they didn't score the rest of the game. You know, not to make excuses, because the guys who were in there did not play, you know, didn't do a good enough job. But at the same time, you know, it really seemed like the air kind of came out of the team when Kenny Lewis got hurt. Brian Sciencebring had a quote on the Hokie Hotline last night. He asked one of his tight ends, I believe Greg Boone, why he didn't celebrate on that touchdown in the third quarter, and Boone said basically, well, Kenny just got hurt. It didn't really seem like the right thing to do there. And, I really think it took some air out of him. Plus, when you take your starting quarterback out like that, it kind of sends a message to the team that, you know, this game's over with. We're up by 24 points. We're playing Western Kentucky. Let's take our foot off the gas.
You know, Boston College is next on the docket. You know that. They have a bye week. Then they travel to Chestnut Hill. And Crane, the quarterback, guys, from Boston College, was your ACC Offensive Player of the Week, and we'll get to his numbers after Mr. Coleman. But I look at the schedule at BC. That's a winnable football game. Maryland at home, at Miami. The rivalry with Miami is always good, but Miami looks like they may be down. And then you close it with Duke and Virginia at Lane, and Duke and Virginia are not very good football teams, at least at this point of the season. Is that Florida State one the game you have the most concern with, Chris?
Oh, absolutely, no doubt. If Virginia Tech played each one of those teams tomorrow, I would pick the Hokies in every one of those games except for Florida State. Florida State's defense is top-notch, in my opinion. Don't have much of an offense right now. I think Virginia Tech can win that game, but it's going to take Christian Ponder throwing the football to Tech's defense quite a bit.
We were spitballing the ACC Offensive Player of the Year. At this point of the season, who is it? It's certainly not the Three Musketeers from Death Valley, Harper, Davis, and Spiller, who are 1, 2, and 3 from a preseason standpoint for that award. Tate might be the front runner from North Carolina, but can you make a legitimate case, Mr. Coleman, for Tyrod Taylor?
I don't think the numbers are going to be there. You're talking about a guy who, what's the date, October 7th, and he only has one touchdown pass.
Right.
You know, I just don't think the numbers are going to be there in the end. But, you know, I think he is the MVP of Virginia Tech's team because, you know, this offense, as ugly as the numbers are right now without Tyrod Taylor, he's the guy keeping the chains moving when they do move.
Do most folks on your message boards, 30 seconds left here, Chris, do they only consider what he does from a passing number standpoint and not consider the running game?
I think there's some savvy football fans out there who realize what he does for the running game. A lot of people will look at the passing stats and say he's not very good, but he's kind of like Michael Vick when he played for the Falcons. You know, you couldn't measure the impact he had on a game just from pure passing numbers, and that's what Tyrod brings to the table.
Very well said. Chris Coleman, guys, is the associate editor at TechSideline.com. We are on TechSideline.com 7 days a week to prepare for this program. Thank you, CC, for your time.
You bet, Jerry.
Good guy. Chris Coleman knows his stuff. 866-356-ESPN. Blacksburg and Charlottesville, you have a local sports update coming for me. In fact, Central Virginia, Miller's Minute is right around the corner. Headlines next, and then we catch up with Jay Jenkins, who's live from the Al Groh press conference. That's today. It's the Jerry Miller Show. We're syndicated on 5 affiliates in 3 states, folks.